Take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians this morning, to chapter 2. I'm going to read about the defining event of Christ's resurrection. Beginning with verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in form of God, did not require equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above all names, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. Amen. You know, Christ's resurrection is the defining event of our faith and all of history. All the way back from history, it's the defining point of our faith as Christians. It demonstrates Jesus' power over death, confirms his divinity, and provides a powerful example of the Lord's ability to keep his promise. He said he would rise, and he did. Jesus informed and instructed, and he taught this throughout his life. And God has never lied, has he? And he never will. He always keeps his promises. The resurrection of Jesus is critical to the gospel and to Christianity at faith. See, the disciples initially responded to the resurrection from a human, rational perspective rather than from a godly one. And see, too often that's what happened. We respond to so many different things on the human side, when God wants us to look at the spiritual scope of all things, the way that he sees it. And he wants us to see the resurrection from the point of view that he died for you and me, our sins. Our sins nailed him to the cross. He went willingly. And see, that's why John 3:16 is so relevant. For God so loved the world. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. And they had seen him, the disciples had seen him perform miracles. They listened to his sermons. How would you love to listen to Jesus' sermons day by day? You know, back then, those who preached or shared the word normally sit, and everybody else just kind of stood around, gathered around. It's right the opposite today. We give you the opportunity to sit, and we stand. And that's okay. That's all right. I like standing anyway. And the scriptures give no account that any of the Lord's followers waited outside the tomb for his resurrection. So what does that say? Did they really expect it? Even though Jesus told them day by day by day, every time they met, every time they ate together, every time they took communion, observance of the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, I must die, but I will rise again. This had to register somewhere in their mind. But it didn't always make it to the heart, did it? Does everything that we hear, that we know, that is factual, make it to the heart? We hear it, we rationalize it, we think about it, but do we really take it to the heart? And that means, do we really believe it? I wanted to give you some examples of what the Bible tells us about Jesus' resurrection and those who were told but really didn't comprehend. The women who visited the grave after the Sabbath came prepared to anoint a body, a dead body. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, and Joanna. They came to the tomb very early in the morning, like sunrise. They brought their spices, and they were going to anoint Jesus' body because they were thinking, he's still there. But they had a problem. You know what that problem was? And they discussed that on the way. How are we going to roll that stone back? We should have brought some men with us. We should have brought some kind of a winch or something to roll that big stone back. And when they got there, we know what happened, don't we? It was already rolled back. And they looked in and saw an angel sitting there in white apparel, saying, I know why you're here, but he's not here. Christ has risen, and go tell everyone, the disciples, that he is risen. Well, that's exactly what they did. They went to tell the disciples. The disciples could not comprehend the eyewitness report of the empty tomb, the women's word, and Luke 24:11 said, appeared to them as what? Nonsense. No. No. We won't believe until we see with our own eyes. Another unbelief. And then Peter, you know, he ran to the tomb after he heard, and he stopped short of the tomb, and the Scripture says he just stooped down and he peeped in. Of course, he saw an empty tomb as well. And he went back home amazed, thinking, wow, what's really taking place? And then the Scripture says two disciples on the way to a little village in Emmaus were talking to one another. And Jesus comes up and he says, what are you talking about? You've been visiting here in Jerusalem and you don't know what's happened, what's taking place. And they take a few minutes to tell him about it. And he says to them, O ye of little faith. Don't you know that the prophets has prophesied from old, explaining exactly that Jesus would die on the cross, but he would be resurrected. He lives. And this was Jesus standing right there beside them. You know, how is it in our day and life today, as we are going about our way to our own Emmaus, to our workplace, to our place of business, and we don't even recognize the presence of God in our life? We know he's real, but how often do we recognize it when he's speaking to us, when we pray? See, when we pray sometimes, God may not just give you the answer right there at that moment. You may be out walking, you may be out doing something, and he's wanting to get your attention, but you're not listening. until something that he does or you have done that shows you his presence. And your eyes are open and you're ready to listen. You see, that's what the disciples, they were so perplexed in their heart and mind with unbelief and doubt that it crossed out anything else that they could comprehend about what Jesus had been teaching them. It was getting late, so the disciples say, "Hey, won't you just come with us?" And Jesus went with them, still unknowing to them that Jesus was right there in their presence. They sat down to eat, and the Bible said that Jesus took some bread, and he broke it. He broke it, and he blessed it, and he offered it to them. And then their eyes were open. You see, that's what Jesus does with us today. When he communes with us, when we commune with him, he's breaking bread with us. And sometimes, you know, when we need it the most, we realize our eyes are open, our hearts become sensitive, and we say, "Lord, thank you." You see, they were so overwhelmed, and they probably begin to be talking to each other and say, "Wow, why didn't we get this?" And the Bible says that he just vanished from their presence. And then they get up and they go and they say, "We have seen Jesus. He is risen. He is alive." I wanted to share the unbeliefs, you know, of those in that day that were right there present with Jesus and heard from his own lips that he was going to rise again. There's a lot of skepticism out in the world today, as Steve said a while ago. I was visiting with Carter Everidge this past Friday. After the Good Friday service, as I was coming back home, I went by the Manly to visit with Carter and Grace. I went there and sat down. Of course, Carter was asleep, and I had to wake him up. I sat down, and I tapped him on the knee there, and he woke up. And he said, "Wow." He said, "Where are you preaching today?" I said, "Not preaching, just went to the service and explained to it." And we got talking about Easter and the resurrection and some of the biblical truths and so forth and the doubts within the world today. And the skepticism from the disciples and others that didn't comprehend. We talked about that. And Carter, I mean, he was all into this and everything. Then he kind of just lay back and he said, "You know," he said, "you'll probably agree with me," but he said, "you know what they all had to do? Believe. All they had to do is believe." And I said, "Carter, you hit it right on the head. All that anybody in this world has to do is just believe. It's not hard, is it? It's not hard to believe in something. We believe in something, but the most important, the defining point event in our history in Christianity is the faith that we have in the resurrection. You see, that's where it is. Our hope, our joy, everything about this world is centered around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus' birth was a pivotal point of this world because he came into this world and knowingly was going to go to the cross. He knew that from the very beginning, and he prophesied that. The prophets did, the Old Testament, even into the New, and people did not believe it. And still today, people don't believe it. And see, it is our responsibility as Christians. It is our responsibility as a church to let people know. Maybe reason people don't believe and know is because we as Christians are not enthusiastic enough about it to say it is real. We sing about it. We talk about it. We share sermons about it. But how is our attitude? What did the scripture say right here? In verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which also is in Christ Jesus. See, it's attitude. Everything revolves around attitude, doesn't it? Our attitude. How do we feel about it? Do we accept it or we reject it? Do we understand it? You know, we don't understand everything about the Word of God, but the Word of God gives us enough information that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, believing that He went to the cross, He died for our sins, but He rose the third day in victory. In victory, He gave us, He gives us eternal life. All right. What's the difference does it make if we believe in the resurrection? Because Christ was raised from the dead, we know that the kingdom of heaven has broken into earth's history. Our world is now headed for redemption and not disaster. This, if you look on the news every day, it looks like everything is headed to disaster. Countries against countries, nations against nations, but guess who's in charge? Our Lord. He's in charge. We shouldn't fear anything because that's the foundation of our faith. Those who are here and those who have gone on to be with the Lord. You see, that's the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And one of these days, and the Bible promises it, God promises that we will be reunited and spend eternity together. You see, that's our hope. We shouldn't fret. We shouldn't fear. We shouldn't doubt. Because one of these days, we will be together as one again. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Looking forward to that day. It's in the near future. It's in the near future. I'm not saying it's tomorrow, but it's in the near future, and we don't know. We don't know. But we are to encourage one another with the words that are given to us by the writers of the Word of God. Paul says, Christ rose from the grave according to the Scriptures. And He did. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that. The difference it makes in the resurrection is because of resurrection, we know that death has been conquered, that we too will be raised from the dead to live forever with Christ. The resurrection gives authority in the church witness in the world. We are Christ's witnesses. Look at the early evangelistic sermons in the book of Acts. The apostles' most important message was proclamation of Jesus Christ, that He had been raised from the dead. The resurrection gives meaning to the church regular feast, the Lord's Supper, which we take regularly. We took Thursday evening. We took it last Sunday night. As often as we take it, we do it in remembrance of Him because it is very significant. And another thing that we do, ordinance we do baptism. When a believer accepts Christ, when a lost person gets saved, they become a follower of Christ, and they follow in baptism. Those are the two ordinances that we practice, the Lord's Supper and baptism, and we are to keep that because it's a covenant that we're making with the Lord. The resurrection helps us find meaning even in great tragedy. No matter what happens to us as we walk in the Lord, the resurrection gives us hope for the future. The resurrection assures us that Christ is alive, ruling his kingdom. He's not legend. He is alive and he is real. The power of God that brought Christ's body back from the dead is available to us to bring our moral and our spiritual dead selves back to the life so we can change and that we can grow. And that's what it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that we are changed. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that one of these days, in the twinkling of an eye, that Christ will descend from heaven, the sound of a trumpet, and Jesus will descend. And those who are dead will rise up to meet Christ, and those who are alive and remain will also be called up to be with the Lord. See, that's another promise. And God keeps his promises. A little girl was asked by her daddy if she knew the meaning of Easter, what it meant. She was pondering and she was thinking and remembering all the things she'd been taught in Sunday school and reading the Bible. She said, "Yes, I know," with a big smile. She says, "I know what Easter means. It's surprise. Surprise, world." Sounds just like a child, doesn't it? Surprise! Surprise, sin. Surprise, world. Mortal man. Modern man, surprise. He is risen. The simple little words of a child, surprise, that is. Because surprise means, hey, I told you I was rising again. That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what is the evidence that Christ is risen? See, in the midst of life challenges, you're going to have supernatural confidence and we can have peace. I can testify personally that in more than 50 years of walking with the Lord, he has proven his sufficiency in every circumstance of my life. I've been Christian for 50 years now. And he has walked with me, and I'm here evident to tell you that it's made a difference in my life. 50 years. And you know what? It only seemed like yesterday. Only seems like yesterday that I walked down the aisle and I took Brother Bob Peek's hand and I said, "You know, I want to be baptized. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior," back in the pew. "And I'm walking down to make it public. I want to be baptized." And it's like the whole world was lifted from my shoulders. But you know what? Since then, the world has come down hard at certain times in our lives. But you know, it's because you keep looking up, not back, but you keep looking up, keep looking forward to the power of the resurrection. And that's what sustains us and gives us hope and the peace that will keep us steadfast throughout our remaining life. So be strong in the Lord. You know, our faith is going to be tested. I tell a lot of new Christians, I tell them when I baptize them, you are going to be tested by this world. You're going to be tested by Satan because he doesn't want you, he knows you've already got the victory, but he's going to do everything to bring you down spiritually. He works hard day and night doing that. But if you'll say, "Get behind me, Satan," he has to obey. Don't ever let Satan get the upper hand on you, because he will try to defeat you with doubt and fears and depression and all of the things that he can muster up and throw at you. That's what he does. He tries to defeat us, but he can't, because Christ won't let him. See, the resurrection is not just another thing that we believe as Christians, it is the very center of our faith. Everything hinges on the resurrection, and you realize that when your life smacks you right in the face. I read an account of a man whose daughter died. It was devastating for the family, but in her death, Easter took on a new importance. The father said this. This is what the father said. He was devastated. The family was devastated. And trying to comprehend all of this, but then when he got to thinking about the power of the cross and the resurrection, it put a different point of view in his heart and his mind. And this is exactly what he said, quote, "Until you stare death eye to eye, Easter is just a word, a nice day with bunny rabbits and eggs. But when someone is so precious to you dies, Easter becomes everything. An anchor in the fierce storm, a rock on which to stand, a hope that raises you above despair and keeps you going." And every one of us has faced that in some way, haven't we? And we can be like this man and see it from that point of view. Easter, the resurrection, keeps us going. It's our salvation. It sustains us. It's our refuge. And if we will keep looking to the resurrection of Christ, the power that it displays, then we can keep going on. See, everything hinges on the resurrection. In our deepest and darkest moments, when we don't think it can ever get any better, the resurrection gives us hope that it can. When we are in the midst of the day, 1 or 2 days, the resurrection gives us hope that in the day three, victory came. Today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to close this morning with this story about Kay Arthur. How many of you ladies know about Kay Arthur? Many of you have read some of her books. She does seminars and workshops all over the United States. She is an outstanding Christian lady, but she hasn't always been that way. In her 20s, she lived anything but the Christian life. Her husband was a manic depressive person. And she came to the point, she said, "I just don't want to live with him anymore." And she told him that. And that made him even more manic depressive. Even to the point that he said, "I might as well just commit suicide." And so being so insensitive to him and his situation, she said, "Why don't you just go ahead and do that? I need the insurance money." And he did. He hung himself. The day of the funeral, as she was leaving, she began to think, "I'm a failure as a mother, as a person, as a Christian. I'm a failure." And she looked up into the sky and she shook her fist at God and said, "God, to hell with you." But it wasn't long later after that she realized she was wrong. And she prayed for forgiveness. And in her writings, as a result of realizing her wrongs and what she had done, and God was in the right, she was in the wrong, and she repented remorsefully for what she said and what she had done and what she had caused in her life with her family and her husband. She turned her life completely around, began to serve the Lord faithfully He has used her mightily, and she wrote the book, and the writings and the stuff I'm telling you about is in her book, Lord, I Need Your Grace. I need your grace. We all need God's grace. You see, when she got to thinking about the power of the resurrection and where we wrong God. We wrong Jesus Christ. And she says in her book that I did realize that Jesus Christ did go to the gates of hell for me. He did. He did for me. He did for you. But guess what? He rose again. See, that's the power of the resurrection. And see, it changes our whole mindset. And the verse says, be of this attitude as it was in Christ Jesus. You see, we just got to change our thinking, our point of view, our attitude. We need to think like Jesus thinks. And then when we do, we have his perspective and not ours. We need his perspective on everything. And when we do, we will see the resurrection and we'll keep on going. Amen? We'll keep on going. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your resurrection. We praise you. We worship you. And Lord, so many of us come into the house of worship, your house, to worship. But sometimes we come in so distracted, so heartbroken, so doubtful, that we're not able to see your glory and see the clear picture that you want us to see about your resurrection. But this day, Lord, may our hearts be humbled as we pray and as we meditate upon your message and what we've heard today and what we've experienced and witnessed. Lord, with your spirit so strong and real, may we open up our hearts and say, Lord, whatever it is, whatever barrier, whatever stronghold is up on me, I know that you can break it. I give my life completely. I surrender my life to you. And there may be someone here that doesn't know you personally as their Savior. Today they can know him. They can know you most of all. Anyone looking for a church home? Sales Baptist Church is a loving and caring church, willing to reach out and help anyone in need. And the most graphic need in this world today is salvation. And Lord, we offer that to anyone that comes through this door. Your salvation, which involves eternal life. Lord, this is your invitation. May our hearts be open. May we be willing to take that first step, and you will help us walk the rest of the way to make our decision public before man, and you will make it public to your heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, thank you for this invitation, and thank you for the response today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to be singing 340.